I want to be Mamshech. We left off last week in the middle. We actually left off with a Kasha. We discussed the aside, which is found in the writings of Rabbeinu Bechai. When Yaakov Avinu is known as the name Yaakov, so then what's being discussed at the time, the topic at the time is Inyana Elam Hazer. It's Yaakov Avinu's interaction with Elam Hazer. When the Torah calls him Yisrael, so then it's Yaakov Avinu's interaction with Elam Haba. You're going through the Chumash. It's consistent. Except in Parsha Vayechi. Because when it came for him to die, the Pasuk says, Vayikavu Yimei Yisrael Lamus. In the days of Yisrael came to die. If Yisrael is Yaakov's interaction with the Elam HaEmes, with the Elam HaBa, so it shouldn't say Vayikavu Yimei Yisrael Lamus. And it came time for Yisrael to die. It should say Vayikavu Yimei Yaakov Lamus. The time came for Yaakov. You understand the Kasha, Meir? And now Yaakov's turn came to die, because if Yaakov is Yaakov's interaction with this world, so when he dies, he's no longer going to interact with this world. So it should say it came time for Yaakov to die. Are you clear? Got it? You got it? You understand? Came time for Yaakov to die. So my Rebbe of Gittel Bracha explain, and it's based on the words of Rabbeinu Bechai. Mamish, he said this is the side of the Maral that we're learning. That the neshama, the nature of the neshama is to repel, to go in the other, to reject, to go in the other direction with anything that's found in this world. There's nothing in this world that the neshama is attracted to. If there's anything that ticks off the neshama that never can't stand, it's the ability of man to make a free choice. Yeah. The neshama can't stand it. It can't tolerate that. Yeah. Free, you know what free choice is? Free choice is that a person has the ability to choose evil. The neshama, how could the neshama doesn't see itself as existing in a world where evil can be chosen to an equal value to good. And even those who choose good 10 times out of 10. But we worship the ideal of free choice. I choose good, but I could have chosen evil, and it's a legitimate choice. It's just that I prefer to choose it. We all have our areas where we say this. You know, I personally choose to be from. My friends, they have to make their own choices. I can't tell them what to do. You ever heard that before? I don't feel comfortable telling them what to do. So you might be comfortable in a world like that, but the neshama is not. And with all the other things that go along with the package, a lot of things in this world, but the neshama doesn't have a choice. Because Baruch Hu creates the guf, and one of the things Hashem gives the guf is the ability to hold on to the neshama. The guf has capabilities. The body has capabilities. And one of the capabilities of the body is it has the strength to hold on to the neshama. Now ultimately it's good for us. Once we're in this world, let's make the best of it. And if God decided we should be here, then it's His wisdom, and His wisdom is law. His wisdom is the way it's going to go. And it's better, it's good for the neshama ultimately to be here. It pays off in the end, but the neshama doesn't like it. You know, just because it's good for the neshama doesn't mean that you can make me do it, you can't make me like it. And that's the way it is, and that's the way it goes. And the neshama rejoices at the small glimmers of Eilul Haba in this world. The neshama, there's like little sparks and rays of sunshine and bolts of lightning, glimmerings of Eilul Haba in this world. So the neshama delights at that. It's a little reminder of home, you know. When a Rasha gets up, when it was time for a Rasha to die, Hashem sends a Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis knocks off the Rasha. Tzadikim don't die like that. Tzadikim die in a much smoother process. When someone nears death, their physical strength diminishes, gets smaller and weaker and weaker and weaker. And in equal ratio, the powers of the spirit, they grow stronger and stronger and stronger, and priorities change. That's when priorities change. And the things that were so important to the physical person his whole lifetime, they're no longer as important. And the things that, you know, the neshama, the desires of the soul, those are dominant. And this is especially apparent by a Talmud Chacham. People get older, they eat less, they sleep less. I mean, it manifests itself in ways that we could measure and see. The older Talmid Chachamim, they sleep an hour here, an hour there, that's all they need. They doze off, they eat a little bit. And if they're well enough, they learn. They keep, you know, they learn, they daven. They go deeper, deeper in the world of the spirit. At some point, the pull of the neshama to leave this world gets so strong that it overcomes the resistance of the guf to keep the neshama in this world. Because the guf is getting weak and the neshama is getting stronger. And then the tzaddik dies. It's a much more pleasant way of dying than someone that dies with the Malach HaMavis. But anything's got to be better than that. That man is, that Malach HaMavis creature is mean. He's got that big, that long stick with the blade on it. And there's poison dripping from the blade. Anything's got to be better than that. And like the Gemara describes, that Misa for Tzadik is like pulling a hair out of a bowl of milk. It's that smooth. The neshama just goes where it always wanted to go. And the group says, can't hold, the group says, I'm too tired, I can't hold on to you anymore, I can't go. And the group lets go, and the neshama goes. So my Rebbe said, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Vayikrevu yimei Yisrael lamas. And there's two ways you could translate the pasuk. So we'll say it the wrong way, and then we'll say it the right way. The wrong way is the days of Yisrael came for you to die. It's time for Yisrael to die. That's the wrong way. The right way is Vayikrevu Yimei Yisrael. The days of Yisrael are coming close. What does that mean? The days of Yisrael are coming close. It means it's a time for Yisrael to be dominant. It's a time for Yisrael to grow stronger. And Yisrael means the spiritual part of Yaakov's name. But Yikrevu Yivei Yisrael, it's the days of the Yisrael within Yaakov, its days are coming close. The closer a person gets to the Yom HaMisa, the closer he's getting to the source where his neshama came from. The closer the neshama gets to its source, the stronger the neshama is. Give a mashal, can I give a terrible mashal? I'll give you a terrible mashal. Let's say you're hijacking somebody. Nothing. Let's say you're hijacking somebody's Wi-Fi. But they have apps for this. You would never do it.
Never.
They have apps for this. And then your gadget is searching, and searching it finds a signal. It connects. And you try and load up the browser. It just doesn't connect. You're too far. So you go a little bit. You look for the. You can look for the bars. But there are little figures, little icons there. You go a little bit this way, or you go a little bit that way, and it goes from very poor to poor. There's different grades. Then you try again, and then you have service. Now you connect it when it's very poor. You connect it when it's poor. You connect it when it's good. And when it's very good, it's like this happy times. You know, that's when it's really good connection.
2 megabytes.
That's it. But it doesn't work when it's poor because it's too far from the source. The closer you get to the source, the closer you get to your neighbor's internet, send the stronger your signals.
So you're standing at the front door.
Yeah. Well, we have our internet pirates around here. Just sit in the hallway. When the neshama was not created to live in this world, it's a temporary relationship. Neshama is not a physical thing. It has no body. So neshama's place is a place where there's no bodies. And yet the neshama is a presence in this world. The neshama is what enables us to think higher thoughts, to calculate, to reason, to reach higher levels. The neshama relates to this world, but that's not where it belongs. It's not made of the stuff of this world. The closer a person gets to the day of death, the closer the neshama is getting to the point where it's going to return to its source. So it gets stronger. If it gets stronger, so then its ability to pull away from the body increases. Vayikrevu Yimei Yisrael means the days of Yisrael are coming close. He's coming closer to his day of death. So that means the Yisrael part of him is the soul of Yaakov Avinu senses that it's getting closer to when it's going to return to the place where it came from. It gets stronger, pulls away from the body. And what's the next word in the pasuk? Lamus. And that caused Yaakov's death. So the right way of reading the pasuk, according to Ben Bechai, is Vayikrevu Yimei Yisrael. The days of Yisrael come close, and therefore the neshama got stronger. Lamos, and that caused him to die. That's what my Rebbe said. That's how I explained.
The automation of a regular neshama?
No, of course not. Good question.
Did it say something similar by Avram also?
But Yitzchak talks about Kreva.
So when was the neshama that we know created?
Hashem created Adam Rishon's neshama. And all the neshama since then are contained within Adam Rishon's neshama. Hashem doesn't create new neshamas. Our body comes from Adam. Your body came from Adam Rishon's body. There's no other place it came from. Hashem did not create new bodies. Hashem created one body. Even Chava was created from Adam's body. Hashem made one body. Everything in the world, all humans in the world, come from that one body. And the same is true of the soul. Since the days of creation, Hashem hasn't created anything new. Just as things that were hidden, that come out. But they were created in the days of creation. So Adam Rishon had a neshama. He had a greiser, in Yiddish, he had a greiser neshama. He had a neshama of colossal magnitude. It encompassed all. And then he had three sons. And his sons didn't get that. So they didn't get a neshama of that proportion. The neshama was not...
If he was still alive, he was only the first...
We share neshamas.
At the same time?
Yes.
Is his body stronger? Mm-hmm. He's good. Well, assuming so, because Neshama was stronger, he'd be a stronger goat now. So.
His body was stronger. Maybe Shane Neshama's.
Years ago, the bodies, I think, were stronger also.
Yes, and that's what the hell says. Not I mean, you ever heard of Gilgulim? What's a Gilgul?
Someone passed away and Neshama wasn't...
Misukin, right? They didn't finish it, and the Neshama comes back in the same body? A different body. So the bodies share one Neshama.
At the same time.
Okay, in the time of Tchias HaMeisim, what's going to happen? You understand what... In the time of Tchias HaMeisim, what's going to happen? The bodies come back. What happens? How many... They will share the same Neshama.
One person.
That's right. That's one neshama with multiple bodies. That's what's going to be.
Are you going to know who's sharing the neshama?
Yes. It'll be like a relationship. Like it'll be like cousins or brothers. Or children.
How many parts are there?
I had this question we were talking about. I think it was asked last year.
So that the Maral says this exact word in the world. We mentioned last week that a man is a miniature world. The world has legs, man has legs. The world has a tabur, a belly button, man has a belly button. The world has eyes, man has eyes. So whatever we just said about Yaakov Avinu from Ben Bechai, the world gets old. The power, the physical power in the world is going to get old. The physical power of the world, the goof of the world. And we're talking about analogy, we're making an analogy here. Until now we're talking about Yaakov Avinu's body and Yaakov Avinu's soul. So what's the body of mankind and what's the soul of mankind? The body of mankind are the four nations. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. He saw a figure that was made up of the four nations. The golden head, that was him. The silver torso, the iron, the copper. And he saw it all as one human figure. Because the nations of the world are given all the physical powers of the world. The four nations of the world are compared to the body of the world. If you look at the world of the human being, so the human being has a body and a soul, the world has a body and a soul. Who's the body? The body is the nations. The soul of the world are the Jews. When the body's young, the soul is powerless against the body. The soul wants to leave. The soul wants to break up the partnership. The soul wants to go on its own. And the body is too strong. And the soul can't break away. And you can't win. The soul cannot win against the body when the body is young and strong. And against the will of the soul has to be here, together with the body, and be under the dominion of the body. The Seif Yimei Ha'olam. Here's what Amaral says. But the Seif Yimei Ha'olam is when the world gets old. Oz Yistalka Kecha Shashem Kecha Gufni. Physical Kechas have to constantly be regenerated. They're finite. You wake up in the morning, you're given a certain amount of Kech for the day. No matter how strong you are, there's a point where your kaychus leave you. So if you wake up at 6 in the morning, so some people will be exhausted by 6 at night, some people will be able to go to 12, some people will be going to 1 or 2, but at some point, the physical kaychus just get used up until the next day. Go to sleep and you get new kaychus. Physical kaychus are finite. They can last for a very long time, but sometime they're going to run out. when they do run out, then their ability to hold back the spirit of the world is diminished. And the physical becomes weaker, and then the spiritual gets stronger. So that means the Bavel, Parasamada, Yavan, Edain, they get weaker as the world gets older, and then Klal Yisrael, who's the spirit of the world, will get stronger as we get closer to the end. So coming to the end of time is very significant, because coming to the end is that the physical world has a limit. It went for thousands of years. It's a long time. Thousands of years is a very long time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world in the 6 days of creation, he gave the world a certain amount of energy. And it's not everlasting. It's something which is, Hashem decided how much energy he's going to put into this world. How long is that sun, you know, did you ever have a battery that lasts forever? There's no such thing. Batteries only last because the power was put into them. And then they die. Hashem created a power source, the sun. Who replenishes the power in the sun? Is the sun, does the sun have, I just bought one of these little charging switches. You know that when your thing dies, so you plug it in, it's like a USB port, about this big, and then there's enough for a couple charges there. So if you have an airplane, and they don't have a USB thing and they sit in front of you, and you're busy learning all your Svarim on your Kindle or something like that, so you can charge it up. What's the sun connected to? What's the sun connected to? What's putting the energy into the sun? What?
Gas.
Okay, but the gas, when it runs out, I'm saying it's a... It runs out, right?
Yes.
So Hashem put a big gas balloon there. It's finite, and it's been finite since its inception, since the first day of creation, because Baruch Hu put a 6,000-year gas balloon in the sun. And in order for the sun to continue after that, it's got to be replenished. It's got to be renewed. If it's not renewed, it's just going to go out, and become a dwarf star, or a black hole. Everyone will get sucked in.
Supernova
is the other way.
Right.
It blows up. This way it just contracts. It gets smaller and smaller and more compact as gravity pulls it towards the center. And everything gets sucked in.
None of us will know.
What?
None of us will know because we'll just freeze.
No, we won't. Yeah, we'll freeze.
The second seconds.
Well, we're going to try and avoid that.
7 seconds? 8 seconds, I think.
Yisgabu kayik Yisrael HaKadosh HaNivdol. And the Klai soul, the soul, gets stronger when the body gets weaker. It's a process. And it's a process that's happening now. As the physical powers of the world start diminishing, they go, you know, they're weakening, so then the spiritual kicks of Klai soul gets stronger. It's a direct proportion. It's a reaction. It's an action and a reaction. They get weaker, we get stronger. Vayim Shumaneh, and then they won't be able to stop us. They won't be able to hold us back. The four Malkias, diminishing as they are, they're getting weaker, they're causing us a lot of tzaris. You see patterns. Edom is Christianity. The power of Christianity was mighty. It was awesome. And we were in the gullus of Christianity. And when they were at the point at their greatest strength. They had a chokehold over us. From the time of the Crusades in the Middle Ages until the Renaissance, Jews weren't permitted to own land. They weren't permitted to travel. If they were allowed them to travel, they had to pay a tax, a Jew tax. They weren't permitted to engage in the trade. They weren't permitted to have a place to live. They were banished from place to place. They had no rights. You know, the picture that's presented throughout history, the Jew is the moneylender that extorts money from people. There's a lot of truth to it because all other sources of making an honest living were closed off to them. They weren't allowed to have a store. They couldn't be peddlers or merchants. They couldn't travel. So they let money. That's the one thing that they let them do. And they probably let them do it because they wanted to borrow money. So if you want to, the guy, the Christians, they want to borrow money, they have to let the Jews do something because the Jews lend the money. So you let them do it. That's all they could do was lend money. And if they lent money to a powerful person, they tried to get it back. They didn't get it back. They didn't survive that. There were no rights. They couldn't leave. They had no place to go. There was no way of earning a living. They couldn't advance. The hold of the Christians, the Christian world's hold on the Jewish people is almost total. And nowadays, do the Christians have a hold on anything? You think about what was maybe 50, 60 years ago. The place of business wasn't allowed to be open on Sunday. It was that powerful. That they were to dictate when someone would open or close the store. A Jewish person, they'd want to be open on Sunday because they're closed on Shabbos. You know, you can't. It was against the law. Some of these laws are still on the books. They're called blue laws. In America, I don't know if it's true anymore, but like in New York, you can't get a bottle of booze on Sunday.
Yeah, when I was in Atlanta, they changed the law. You can't buy it. It used to be good.
Oh, so Atlanta, they went back.
Yeah.
But in Brooklyn, my stepsister got married on a Sunday. They didn't have wine for the chuppah. So a few hours before the chasen, I drove around with my dad, trying to buy a bottle of wine. Nothing. Can't get a bottle. He can get a bottle of wine in the McCulloch. In America, they don't do good stores. Don't sell wine. Do you know how many? We went to one store after another. Went to the beverage section, and the closest thing we saw to wine was grape juice. I guess if you let it sit long enough, it might turn into wine. We didn't have enough time. There was a shul that they had a case of wine in the shul. You know, they had it. You know. So we snuck a bottle of wine from a shul. Powerful. When the clergy, they controlled everything. They didn't just control the Jews. They controlled everyone. They controlled the ignorant masses. All the money went to the church. Even today, the Vatican is the wealthiest entity in the entire world. Do they have a hold over the Jews? Is there any Christian countries the Jews can't visit? Are there Christian countries that they can't leave? Are there Christian countries on the book that can't work? Are they treated any different? That goal is over. I mean, let's face it. The Christian countries, they might not be nice to the Jews. They might not be friendly to the Jews. There's anti-Semitic acts against the Jews. But to call it a gullus? Are Jews in Gaulis in America? Are they in Gaulis in France? Are they in Gaulis in Belgium? In Antwerp? Are they in Gaulis? Somebody should tell the people in Antwerp they're in Gaulis. They're making too much money. Don't you realize that the Christian Gaulis is over? Now it's the Gaulis of Yishmael. We're in the Gaulis of Yishmael. and learn how bitter it is. We were discussing yesterday, we had a learning, me and Yoni and some other guys, we were learning yesterday. Hashem created Yishmael. Hashem created Yishmael. The Gemara Yavama says that Avraham Avinu wasn't capable of having children. The Gemara, according to one view in the Gemara, Avraham Avinu was a tumtum. And a tumtum is not capable of having children. The Kadosh Baruch Hu performed the nes for Avraham Avinu, and a tumtum was able to have a child. He was merapeh him. He healed him and was able to have a child. What was the name of that child? What was the name of the child that was born because Hashem healed Avraham?
Yishmael.
Yishmael was born 14 years before Yitzchak. That means that whatever refuah that Avraham Avinu had was before Yishmael was born. Hashem performed a miracle so Yishmael should be born. Yitzchak and Rivka were Akaris. They were sterile. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu performed a miracle. This week's parasha. And who was born? Yitzchak gave birth to Yaakov and Esav. Hashem performed a miracle for Yitzchak and Rivka, so Esav should be born. Esav and Yishmael, and Esav are around today, and they're causing us so much pain and death and sorrows. Because, and they only exist because of a miracle. Hashem made a miracle so they would be here to do this to us. So that means that when they do things to us, we have to understand that when they do things to us, they are those that were created by God's miracle, and it's God's miracle that enabled them to do it to us. And that means that God is speaking to us. And God is speaking to us through their tzaras. It doesn't mean we welcome the tzaras. It doesn't mean we run into the tzaras. Tzaras come, we can run, you're allowed to run the other way. You protect yourself, you take all measures of protecting yourself. But when the tzara happens, to deal with the tzara as if it's just like some unfortunate thing that happened that we try and avoid, and better luck next time, is missing out on the message. Hashem's telling us something. And it's not always easy to figure out what it is. But if we do figure out what it is, so we have something very valuable. The Rebbe of a gift to Zichro Livracha would deliver Hespedim. When big people died, he was chosen to give Hespedim. He did it in the yeshiva, he did it in the community, he did it at the conventions. Rebbe Gifter, he was like the Reish HaMedabrim B'Chamakim, he was the spokesman of Klal Yisrael when he was alive. And he was able to share his perspective on what we lost. And time after time he would tell us the Gemara, it compares a death to a gardener picking roses. The gardener goes to his garden, and he walks among his roses, picking out the precious ones. He sees a unique rose, the perfect rose, a rose that's befitting for someone really special, for a king. So he severs the rose from his point of attachment to the ground, and he takes it to him. So the world is a rose garden, and there are those individuals that are like a beautiful flower. They fill the world with perfection, with flawless beauty. They would tell us, my Rebbe Yevgeny would tell us, that if we would appreciate what these people accomplished and what they stood for, then they'd be permitted to stay among us. But we don't appreciate them. We don't appreciate what they add. We don't appreciate their contribution. We don't appreciate... They're nice. Nice guys. Nice rabbis. We don't want to be like them. We don't have the understanding of how they got to be that way. We don't want to go on the same path. We're willing to share a planet with them. So Hashem the gardener says that you don't appreciate this beautiful, blemish-free, flawless perfection, and I do. So Hashem plucks the flower and brings the flower to him, to Shemayim, where the person is appreciated. Remember we say this different times you gave us baby. You could blame the animal that brought an end to the lives of the Kabbalists today, and they do get the blame for that. They do get the blame for it. They made a choice, and they made the wrong choice. They made a bad choice. But that's not all that went on today. What went on today was something that was taken from us. It was taken from us because we weren't making use of it. It just somehow happened that the karbanos which are taken from us. Like I always wonder, you know. If an Arab has to go into a shul to shoot people up, why does he have to pick such tzaddikim? Why can't he pick somebody that nobody likes anyway? Go shoot a Russia. There's plenty of people around that the world could do without. There's a bunch of them around. You know, go shoot a guy that informed on somebody. He's kind of me anyway. Go shoot someone at the dinners, Marie Nivalei Milan, you know. A big guy is someone that's Mezalzel and Tamid HaChachamim. There's plenty of people that are Mezalzel and Tamid HaChachamim. There's no shortage of people that are davening in shuls that are Mezalzel and Tamid HaChachamim. And the din is if somebody's Mezalzel and Tamid HaChachamim, it's Marid and Belay Mylin, to help him get down into the pit and then with a ladder, and then you take the ladder out and you help. He stays there because he can't get out. Marid and Belay Mylin, that big guy is Marid and Belay Mylin. The bullet didn't hit someone like that. And hopefully that person should do children. Because he really doesn't deserve to be around. And the bullet hit someone that's perfect. Whatever would say that we don't have to cry for him because he is very fortunate. He's with the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's with his beloved father. You see, the tears that we cry are tears for us, but we don't have that presence by us anymore because we don't deserve it. Hashem speaks to us through the tzaras. The tzaras are brought upon us by a miracle. Hashem made a miracle in order that... Hashem made a miracle to produce individuals that are born into a nation that will go into a shul and shoot people in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And that person is around because Hashem made a miracle to allow his great-great-grandfather to be born. It Let's have appreciation for the ones we still have with us. And the biggest thing we should take from this, I mean, of course, self-improvement is always, it's a constant. You know, whatever you're doing, do it better. And don't feel so secure wherever you go. You know, if you're walking around, have some Mishnayos in your mind. Memorize a couple of Mishnayos. You know, memorize at least a pack of Mishnayos, and when you're walking around, you should, instead of thinking of what we usually think, walk around with God on the mind. Give tzedakah. These are all married to Gazach. Give tzedakah. Be nice to each other. But the core of all those things is not to view these events from a human perspective. And to take on our own personal share of it. The Arabs are wicked and they deserve to all die. And we're going to get it. We're going to get them. We're going to get, we're gonna, you know, people that have these. There are some people that the only reaction they have after such a terrible, terrible catastrophe is what they're going to do to the cousins of the one that did it. So I'm not crying over dead Arabs. If they deserve it, they deserve it. That's a terrible waste if that's all we come out of it. They did something to us, we got to do something to them. And we should come out of this changed. We should come out of this that we should look at world events with heavenly eyes. That we should look at the tzaras we're going through as uniquely tailored by us, brought upon us by a miracle. Because if we overcome these tzaras, the tzaras has sent us for a reason. We overcome the tzaras and we won. That's the point of the tzaras. Ish l'vayir yer mechazak, we should hope to strengthen each other so we can get through this. And let it be the will of the Rebbeinu Shlom. You should give us the siyata d'shmaya, you should help us. Though we see things, we should see things his way. It's like the best deal. Clarity of sight. Shkei for coming here tonight. Namash Yuvah. You braved lockdown. I understand it was lockdown. You braved lockdown, and despite all the opposition, all the dangers and the obstacles, you made it here. So it's your.